Well, good morning, everyone. As many of you may know, Sophia and Zhao Chen got married yesterday here in our church. And yeah, let's give a round of applause to congratulate them. I know they're not here, but they can probably hear us in the recording later. Well, again, yes, I'm sure that we all had a very good time for those of you who attended the wedding. And I wish the best for them. I pray that God will continue to their marriage and, of course, in the years to come. And may they continue to set an example for us and be a good testimony for God as well. Now, about 2 years ago, there was another couple in our church who got married. Their name was Tao and Wei Ren. And the Sunday right after their wedding, so it's literally the day after their wedding, do you know what I preached on? Well, apparently I preached from the book of Hosea about infidelity, adultery, and prostitution. And so in case you were wondering, I guess like God had called Hosea to take on a wife who was unfaithful to him, and God was using that to show that Israel as a nation had been unfaithful to God. So isn't that such an appropriate message, like right after experiencing a wedding? Well, for today's message, okay, no, it's not gonna be anything as intense as adultery or infidelity, but today I wanted to focus a little bit on our anger. So, you know, in marriage, you know, we always think about the whole lovey-dovey thing and how everything is gonna be good and happy. But in reality, just like with any other relationships, because we are human beings, there will be conflicts, there will be arguments, and of course, people will get angry at one another. So I hate to break the whole like fantasy of what marriage is like, but that's part of the reality, that there is gonna be some troubles ahead. Now, I know that a lot of us aren't married right now, but you can observe, even in your parents, that sometimes you see arguments and fights between them, and they become angry at one another. You see how anger can really strain and tear a relationship between people. Again, even if you aren't married, you have other relationships with other people, so whether your friends or your classmates, and just by spending time with them, it is inevitable that there are some times where you or the other person, like, you may get angry at one another. Now, sometimes you may think that, oh, I'm justified in my anger, and because they obviously did something wrong, and I have the right to feel this way. Okay, and I'm not gonna evaluate that right now. But actually, have you ever considered that one of the most important relationships that we have, of course, is our relationship with God? And that relationship with God is also a marriage relationship. Now, even though that you aren't married to another human being right now, if you are a Christian, you are married to Jesus Christ. Scripture talks about Christ as being the husband, and we as a church are his bride. So we have a marriage relationship with God. But have you ever been angry at God before? Have you ever been angry at God before? And I know for me personally, I have been angry at God. Of course, like in Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had talked about, you know, anger as, like when you are angry at someone, it's almost as bad as if you were murdering them. So when we're being angry at God, then does that mean that we're almost like just like murdering God as well? I mean, regardless of whether we can make this connection or not, I think we can agree that anger affects our relationship with God. But did you know that the prophet Jonah was also angry at God? So as we look into the passage for today, we'll see how does God deal with Jonah's anger, and how does he show compassion to each and every one of us? Again, if you're just joining us with us today, you would know that, that we are in the middle of a sermon series entitled The Making of a Missionary. We've been preaching through the book of Jonah for the past couple of weeks. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to take them out and turn with me to Jonah chapter 4. Jonah chapter 4, we're going to be reading the whole chapter later. This is our fifth and final sermon in this sermon series. From this book again, we have seen how God is shaping and forming the prophet Jonah to be a missionary that he desires. And as he's doing that, he was teaching Jonah many different lessons. From our first sermon, again, we have seen how Jonah learned that God calls imperfect people. Remember, when God had originally called Jonah to go to Nineveh to preach a message of salvation and repentance, Jonah said, no way. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. And because he, in a sense, he had some prejudice. He hated the Ninevites. So that's why he went on a ship, went west, opposite of the direction of Nineveh, towards Tarshish. So Jonah was imperfect. He disobeyed God. So this is a message for all of us that God calls all of us to be missionaries, whether we are perfect or not. And actually, in reality, we are not perfect. In the second sermon, we talked about how Jonah learned that even though that he is imperfect, that God does not fail in these missions. God does not fail in missions because it is God who's in pursuit in missions. God is the one who was pursuing Jonah even as he was running away from God. It was God who was pursuing the mariners who were on the boat because they were afraid of the storm that had come upon them. So in the end, we have to remember that God is in missions. God is the one doing the pursuing. Then in the third sermon, we learned that Jonah said that God is the God of salvation. You know, while he was on the boat to Tarshish, there's a storm that came in, and eventually the mariners threw him overboard, and then Jonah started sinking deeper into the ocean. And by God's grace, by God's mercy, God saved Jonah from drowning by sending a giant fish, I guess traditionally thought of as a whale, to swallow him up to save him. And there, in the belly of the whale, this is when Jonah realized that he was saved by God. And this is when he realized that by calling out on the name of God, he can be saved. In the fourth sermon, the last sermon that we had went over in chapter 3, we learned that God is a merciful God, and he gives us second chances. God provided Jonah with a second chance after the whale had vomited Jonah out onto the land. And God called Jonah again to go, arise, and go to Nineveh to preach. And Jonah was given a second chance to obey God again. And then finally, God also gave the Ninevites a second chance. The Ninevites had the second chance to be able to repent of their sins and be able to turn back to God. And as a result, God relented of the destruction and of the judgment. So far throughout this sermon series, we've learned so many different lessons about God. And this is what was shaping Jonah to be a missionary. And it is what shapes us today, because God also calls us to be his missionary. So for today, there is one more lesson that we can learn in this chapter here. And that is about how God is a compassionate God, even in our anger. So I hope you're here with me in Jonah chapter 4. We're going to read through the whole chapter here. Jonah chapter 4, starting from verse 1. Oh, actually, let's start from the previous verse, chapter 3, verse 10. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? This is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Do you do well to be angry?" Verse 5. Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die. It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there were more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? Would you bow with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, as we go through this last chapter in the book of Jonah, again, we come before you asking that you would teach us. We realize that here, Jonah is very angry at you. Lord, help us learn about how you deal with Jonah and how that can apply to our personal lives, because very often we may experience things in this life where we just end up being angry at you. And Lord, we may know that that's not right before you. I pray that you would show us the way. I pray that you would teach us and help us to understand how much of a loving and compassionate God that you are, even though when we've been unfaithful to you, even though we may experience anger. Lord, we lift up these things in Jesus' name. Amen. For this passage today, we're going to be answering three main questions. So if you'd like to take notes, you can write these down. For the first question, we're going to be answering, how should we understand our anger towards God? How should we understand our anger towards God? Or in other words, when we are experiencing anger, like what is really happening? What is actually happening? What does that mean? So how should we understand our anger towards God? Second question, what is the source of our anger towards God? What is the source? What is the thing that usually causes us to be angry at God? And finally, we're going to answer our third question. What should quell our anger towards God? Or in other words, what should stop or what should reside our anger towards Him? So again, the three questions are, number one, how should we understand our anger towards God? Number two, what is the source of our anger towards God? And finally, the third question, what should quell our anger towards God? Okay, so let's look back in this passage. So traditionally, it is thought of that the prophet Jonah wrote this book. And if you were Jonah, if you were writing this book, I think that you would actually stop the story at the end of chapter 3. Because, like, I mean, this would be the whole story. You know, in the beginning, Jonah ran away from God. Jonah disobeyed God. Then God saved him from drowning. And Jonah realized that God was giving him a second chance. And so Jonah, in the second chance, went back. He obeyed God. And he preached to Nineveh. And all the people of Nineveh repented of their evilness and of their sin. And they turned to God. If the story ended right there in chapter 3, wouldn't that be a great story? Wouldn't it mean that, like, Jonah would be pretty much seen as one of the greatest prophets that are there? But no, that's not the case. Jonah decides to continue on and write chapter 4, where he talks about his spiritual flaws. He talks about how he became angry before God. And I think this is one of the reasons why I believe the Bible is true. Because if the Bible was merely written by men, they would leave out details like this because they don't want other people in the world to know that they were sinful, that they were angry at God and whatnot. But the fact that Jonah continued and he included chapter 4 here shows something that's very important. And I've said, Jonah has some spiritual flaws here. Read from chapter 3, verse 10, onto chapter 4, verse 1. When God saw what they did, the Ninevites, how they returned from their evil ways, God relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. So Jonah was exceedingly angry at God, mainly because the Ninevites had repented of their sins and they turned back to God, and God relented of that judgment and destruction like for them. So, I mean, the Hebrew word for anger here can be translated as like to burn, which shows how angry that Jonah really was. And actually, even in verse 3, it says that he was angry even to the point that he wanted to die. That's how upset he was at God. At first, this may seem very, very odd for a missionary. How can a missionary be mad at God? How can a missionary be angry when, after he had preached to a group of people, that these people had actually repented of their sins and turned to God? Isn't that actually a success? Why was Jonah so upset that God relented of the destruction and the judgment of this people? No, Jonah goes on and explains himself. Read verse 2. And he prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee Tarshish." So Jonah admitted that originally when God called him to go to Nineveh to preach a message of salvation and of repentance, Jonah ran away because mainly he did not like the Ninevites. Because the Ninevites, again, as we mentioned in the past, Nineveh was one of the capital of the Assyrian Empire, which was basically Israel's worst enemies. And the Assyrians have done so many horrible things to human beings that they had captured during war. They tortured them, they skinned them, they burned them alive, and they paraded, even beheaded their prisoners and paraded them around. So Jonah realized that about how evil these people were. He had a prejudice against them, and he did not want God to be able to save them. That is why he did not want to go to Nineveh to preach them and to bring them to repentance of God. But what Jonah said next is actually very profound. Let's continue on in the second half of verse 2. Jonah says, "For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." Jonah admitted that he knew who God was. God was a gracious God. God was a merciful God. God was slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he was even relenting from any type of judgment or disaster. But despite having this knowledge of God, even from the very beginning, Jonah was shocked to see that the Ninevites repented and God actually withheld his judgment from these people. So Jonah had this knowledge about God, but yet he was still shocked when God acted upon that. Let us answer our first question here. How should we understand our anger towards God? Here's the first answer. When we are angry towards God, we are disagreeing with who he is. When we are angry towards God, we are disagreeing with who he is. So here, when Jonah was being angry at God, basically he's saying, "God, you shouldn't be a gracious God. You shouldn't be a merciful God. You shouldn't be slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. You shouldn't withhold judgments. At least maybe just for the Ninevites. You shouldn't do it for these people." And do you know what the ironic thing is? That Jonah would be fine if God showed these qualities and characteristics towards him. And that's what God had done. Because Jonah was the one who disobeyed God and ran away from him. Jonah was the one that was thrown overboard and started drowning, and God sent a whale to swallow him up and save him from drowning. You see, God showed him love, mercy, grace, and saved him from destruction. So he was okay with God showing these characteristics towards him and maybe to other nations as well, but just not the Ninevites, not those people. So this comes to something that's pretty dangerous for us. When we read the Bible, we learn things about God. You know, we learn about the theology. But when this theology just becomes head knowledge, and it doesn't influence our hearts, it doesn't influence our spiritual life, it's a very dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing because in the end, it's just head knowledge. And we can be able to use our own wants, our own desires to sort of twist what that says and say, "Okay, God, I love you, I agree with you, and I believe this about you," because it's Scripture says that. But I only want that to be in this part of my life, but not in that part of my life. Oh God, I know that you said that in your word that we should always forgive everyone. But I'll forgive everyone except for maybe this one little friend here, because you don't know what this person has done to me. He's done so many horrible things to me, and I could never forgive him. Like, again, if scripture just becomes theology and just knowledge, we can just take it and apply it to whatever we want. But you see, God doesn't want us to be like that. And when we do that, this is when we become upset. This is when we can start to experience anger towards God. So this is what I encourage for all of you. As you study God's word, ask whatever you learn about God, ask yourself this question. Is what am I learning, is that just head knowledge to me? Or do I really, truly believe it in my heart? Do I let what scripture says, that what truth influence my whole life so that it applies to every part of my life and not just me just picking and choosing how I want to apply it? See, when God says here that he is a loving God, that he is gracious and merciful, abounding in steadfast love, slow to anger and relenting for judgment, that applies for all people. But Jonah just doesn't want to apply it to the Ninevites. So again, how should we understand our anger towards God? When we are angry towards God, we are disagreeing with who he is. We are disagreeing with the way that God works. We are disagreeing and saying that, no, God, because you've done it this way, I say that you are wrong. When we come to that point, that's when we become angry at God. Now, let's move on to our second question then. When we are angry, that's the point when we are disagreeing with who God is, then what is that source? What is the cause of it? What is the source of our anger that's from God? Let's read from verse 5 here. So Jonah went out to the city and sat east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. So even as Jonah was very angry at God and saw that God wasn't going to bring about judgment towards the Ninevites, Jonah was pretty stubborn. He went outside of the city, went pretty far in a safe distance, set up a booth or like some sort of a shelter so that he can be able to get some shade for himself. And he was just going to watch the city from afar and hopefully maybe God will change his mind and God will destroy that city. So like pretty much Jonah was all set. He just needed to have some popcorn and soda and then he can be able to enjoy it. You know, that's sort of like the childish attitude that Jonah has right now. But despite Jonah's anger, how does God deal with him? Well, God still shows grace to him. How does he do that? Look, read verse 6. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head. So many scholars believe that this plant is something called a castor vine, which is a shrub of large leaves. And basically it's common in the eastern lands. So it's big enough to be able to provide shade. So God provided shade for Jonah, even though he made this man-made shelter. So, and how did Jonah feel? Jonah started to feel happy about it. He was no longer angry. And he was like, I guess God provided this for me and God must be happy with what I am doing. But however, that happiness didn't end up too long. Read verse 7. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. So we heard of Jonah and the whale. I know we're familiar with that, but we don't really hear much about Jonah and the worm. Now, just as quickly as God had provided Jonah with a plant to be able to provide him some shade, the very next day, God sent a worm to eat up the plant and completely destroyed it. And as a result, you know, Jonah, it was experiencing the east wind, which is very hot, and also the sun beating down on his head, and Jonah went back to being very angry at God. You know, he was saying, no, God, I was very comfortable where I am. I had my shade. I was waiting for like maybe you to bring judgment upon these people. You know, I was comfortable with where I am. But then God, you just took that away and he became angry again. Let us answer our second question. What is the source of our anger that's towards God? Any anger towards God can be traced back to the belief of self-deserved comfort. I'll say that again. Any anger that is towards God can be traced back to our belief of self-deserved comfort. Now, when I was a student at RPEI, I was pretty unfortunate. Every single year, with the exception of one, I had a roommate that had a lot of anger issues. So literally, there was like very small things that would just like trigger them, and they would like rant out, they would throw furniture. So I was pretty scared, especially of my freshman year roommate. When he was a big Boston Bruins hockey fan, and whenever there's a game on TV, I get out of that room because I know that he's going to be screaming and yelling at the TV, especially if the Bruins were losing. He also watches the WWE wrestling, so I also get out of the room during that time as well, too. So there was this one time when it was basically the Stanley Cup Finals, and the Boston Bruins were in there. And in the end, the Bruins lost. And my roommate, he like really flipped. And he claims that he is a Catholic, and he literally cursed God. He's like, God, why? Why did you let this happen? I waited so many years. I've been a fan faithful to the Boston Bruins for so long, and you can't give me like a championship. You know, like the other hockey team that wins, I bet that there were fans on the other side that who were just only watching the game just because it was a cool thing to do. But they weren't really true fans. So why do they get to have the happiness and pleasure of winning the world the Stanley World Cup? So this is what I was hearing a lot. So my roommate here in my freshman year was expressing his anger towards God. And basically, do you know what he's saying? He's saying that he deserves this. He deserves for his favorite hockey team to win the Stanley World Cup. But God didn't give it to him. You see, God can be gracious to us. God sometimes can give us our comforts. You know, very often we're just so used to God providing us with these comforts that we don't even recognize it. We take it for granted. And it's not until we experience discomfort that's when we can turn in anger towards God. Again, what is the source of our anger towards God? Any anger towards God can be traced back to the belief of self-deserved comfort. Do we believe that we deserve comfort all of our lives? And actually, the bigger question is, are we basically living as very comfortable Christians? Are we living as comfortable Christians? We know that there's a lot of people out there who do not yet know God, and it's too much work to go out to share the gospel with them or to disciple people here in the church. No, it's just too much work, and I don't want to risk being rejected by people. Or I know I had to wake up so early in the morning just to go to church, so your attendance in church drops. Or maybe your personal relationship with God is also going not too well. You can find it hard to find time to read the Bible every day and spend time with them, and you just instead want to live your life your own way in a way that is comfortable. Are we living as comfortable Christians? And are we living as, are we more concerned with our own comfort rather than the souls of the lost? You see, this is exactly what Jonah was experiencing here. He was so concerned about his own comfort. You know, he built a booth. He built a shelter for himself to shade him from the hot winds and the hot sun. And God even provided him with a plant. And he was so distraught when God took that away from him. Jonah was focused on himself and his own comfort rather than the lost souls of the Ninevites. Again, at first, he didn't even want to go to Nineveh to preach to them. So again, what is the source of our anger towards God? any anger towards God can be traced back to our personal belief of having self-deserved comfort. Any comfort that we receive from God is given to us by grace. So we shouldn't be surprised when God takes that away from us. Which leads us to our third question that's here. What should quell our anger towards God? What should quell, what should stop, or at least subside our anger towards him? And, you know, God had a purpose for taking away the plants from Jonah. And he was using this as a lesson to really discipline him and to really show him that it was not right for him to be angry at God. Let us read from verse 9 here. But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I pity Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" You see, Jonah had no right to be angry at God. He was upset and just concerned by the fact that there was this plant that was given to him and now it was taken away. But God asked him, "Jonah, was it you who had created the plant? Was it you who had gave the plant life and caused it to grow and caused it to be sustained?" You see, no, it wasn't. Jonah had no control over the plant's growth and also no control over its withering as well. And at the same time, Jonah was only with the plants for just one day. And in one day, he became just so attached to it that he became angry when it was taken away from him. So if Jonah was so upset at this plant, which he was only spent time with for one day, then how much more should God be merciful and show compassion to the people of Nineveh? Because at the same time, it was God who gave life to the Ninevites. It was God who sustained their life, and it's God who shows them his mercy. And God really loves them. So if so upset and angry at the perishing of his plant, then again, how much more should he actually care and have compassion to the Ninevites? So this is the main lesson that God was trying to teach Jonah here. Let's answer our third question. What should quell our anger towards God? What should quell our anger towards God? The reminder that while God is in full control, he is still compassionate. We need to be reminded that while God is in full control, that he is still compassionate. See, Jonah had no control over the life and death of the plant. Jonah had no control over the life and death of the Ninevites as well. It was God who has control. But even when God is in control of everything, isn't it good to know that and to be reminded that God is always compassionate towards us? That God is always compassionate towards us. And I know that it can be very, very hard to really grasp this because sometimes we experience things in our lives that is so tragic, you know, like something like 9/11 that's happened, or maybe there was a death in our family. You know, this is a trial that we can go through, and I can understand why some of us may turn to God in anger, like, "God, why did you allow for this to happen?" But at the same time, like, we still need to know that God, at least be reminded that God is in control. He's in control, even though he wasn't the direct cause of it, he allowed for certain things to happen, but he wouldn't do so. That is beyond his compassion. God is compassionate towards us. We need to remember that. And I acknowledge that it's very hard to sometimes grasp that, especially when we are going through the trial right now. So some of you may remember me sharing a story that I was basically locked myself out of the house. And there's an episode 2 to it, apparently. So this happened recently. About a week ago, I was having people over for a barbecue at my house, and the lawn was a mess. So I knew that I had to go outside and mow the lawn so that when people come over, they won't, judge me for not really taking care of my house. So as I was doing that, I spent like a good 3-4 hours on it because I was working on a lot of details in my lawn. And you know, it was really hot out and I was sweating. And I tried to go back into my house through the garage and realized that I guess I had accidentally locked the door. So I didn't have my keys with me. And at the same time, like if you remember from my last story, I was able to get into my house by using a credit card to be able to swipe through the door and get back in. But I didn't have my wallet for me. So I literally had nothing on my body. And I was like, oh no, how long do I have to stay out here? I'm already very tired from spending so many hours outside in the heat, mowing the lawn. And you know, I just want to take a nice cold shower. You know, literally, that was the last time that I was actually angry towards God. I was like, God, why did you let this happen to me? So I couldn't understand why this was the case. And I tried to find a solution to myself because you know, I didn't have a credit card, so I tried untying my shoelace and maybe trying to slip it through the cracks in the doors and maybe I could hit the lock again. That didn't work. So I spent like 40 minutes trying to get myself back in. Eventually, because like I was having a barbecue at my house and guests were going to come, thankfully, like Joyce had just came back from work. I was like, yes, I'm saved. She has the key to be able to get me back into my house. So I mean, at least I thank God for that. But you see, when I was going through that situation, I was very angry at God. I didn't understand why he would have this happen to me. But in hindsight, after experiencing that, I realized that when God was doing that, allowing this thing to happen in my life, that he was actually showing me compassion. He was actually showing me compassion because I began to realize that I was very self-sufficient. You know, during that time, I was trying to find my own solution to try to break in back into my house to get in, rather like than turning to prayer to God, rather than trusting in God. I wasn't doing that. So if God didn't have me go through this situation, then I wouldn't have realized that. I wouldn't have learned that. So you see, that act of God allowing this horrible thing to happen to me was an act of compassion. So when we realize, when we're in those situations which makes us angry at God, we should stop and think, okay, remind ourselves, God is fully in control. But even as God is in control, God is always compassionate towards us. I know that might not be something that you want to hear at this at that moment when you're experiencing such a painful experience, but you will understand that after you have gone through that, that God was always there with you, that God is being compassionate. When we remember that God is compassionate towards us and that God has the right to give and take away, then our anger towards him should be able to subside. Let's review everything that we've learned from this passage. Again, we'd answer three questions. Our first question, how should we understand our anger towards God? Or in other words, when we are angry towards God, what is actually really happening? And we had said, when we are angry towards God, we are disagreeing with who he is. Again, Jonah knew that God was a gracious God, God of mercy and abounding in steadfast love and slow to anger, relenting in judgment. But even though he believed that about him, he was disagreeing with the way that he acted towards the Ninevites. Question two, what is the source of our anger towards God? What is the cause of it that is usually in our hearts? And we said that any anger towards God can be traced to our personal belief of self-deserved comfort. You know, when we are saying, oh God, you didn't get me into the school that I wanted to. You didn't give me that job that you wanted, or this or that, and I'm upset about it. We are concerned mainly about our own comfort. We're concerned about our own comfort in this Christian life rather than the lostness of other people in the world. And finally, question number three, what should quell our anger towards God? And as we just mentioned, the reminder that while God is in control of everything in this life, that he is always compassionate towards us. The reminder that when God is in control of everything, that he is always compassionate. Again, throughout this whole book of Jonah, you know, we went through this sermon series that's entitled The Making of a Missionary. You know, God was teaching Jonah through all these experiences more about who he is. And really, if God calls each and every one of us as a Christian to be a missionary, to go on missions, we need to know more of who God is. And by knowing more of who God is, we begin to see how sinful and how far away that we are from him. So just as God was shaping and molding Jonah, as we had read through in this book of Jonah, keep in mind that God is also molding and shaping you today. God is sanctifying you. God desires for you to be perfect so that you can be a true missionary for him. And no matter what happens in this life, he will always be with us. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I understand that many of us here today, we may be going through some situations in our lives. Even if we are not going through a hard time right now, but it's inevitable that in the future, we will be going through it. But when we experience these hard things, how do we react? Do we turn in anger to you as how it's so easy to do? Or do we turn and trust to you instead? Lord, forgive us when we are angry at you. But Lord, thank you for teaching us from this passage about what is the cause of these things, of what is actually happening when we say that we are angry at you. And thank you for giving us a solution, a constant reminder that you are always loving and showing compassion towards us, even though when it may not seem like it at that moment in time. Father, I pray that you will remind us about this each and every day of our lives. I pray that you will continue to mold and shape us to be the people that you want us to be able to glorify you, to be able to make disciples of all nations. Father, help us to keep these lessons in our hearts about you. We lift up these things in Jesus' name. Amen.